Okay, we'll start. This is May 26th, 2014. We're doing Gare and Karuna Tilaka, Lesson 5. Okay, we start one time with homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, it's been a long pause. I don't even remember how to teach Pali anymore. Okay, we were in Lesson 5 going through the grammar. Did we do the past participles? Anybody remember the last place we left off in the grammar?
Yeah, number first participle O did not finish yet only.
We did finish or not?
No, we have to start the first from past participle.
We have to start from the past participles.
Yeah.
Didn't they give? Okay. So we just look at the explanation. This is on page 72. So past participles may also, like the present participle, take gender and number end. Ah, Vivian. Gender and number endings to form nouns. That is, the past participle has a gender. It will be either masculine, feminine, or neuter, and it has the number either singular or plural. And the past participles can function either as adjectives describing another noun, or if there is no other noun, then the past participle can become a noun in itself. I wish they gave some examples of this. Let's see if I could find an example in the glossary. Okay, well, then I'll make up an example. Okay, take the example, ditang rupang. So here, ditang, let me write it. Okay, the word ditang is a past participle, which means seen. And the word rupang is a noun, which means form. So if we come across the expression ditang rupang, it means a seen form, a form that is seen. But we could also come across just the word ditang without any other noun, then ditang, which is a past participle, becomes a noun in itself. So, for example, yang kinchi ditang. We have an expression yang ditang, yang kinchi ditang sutang mutang vinyatang sabang tang tatagatena parinyatang. So yang kinchi, whatever ditang is seen, sutang is heard, mutang is sensed, vinyatang is known, sabang tang, all of that, tathagatena, by the tathagata, parinyatang is fully understood. Okay, so here, when we have ditang, the seen, sutang, what is heard, mutang, what is sensed, vinyatang, what is known, those are all past participles, but they're not describing any other noun, and so they are functioning as nouns. Understand? Even at the beginning of every sutta, evang me sutang, thus by me heard, or which is usually translated, thus have I heard. Here, sutang is what is heard. It's originally a past participle, but is functioning as a noun, that which is heard. Poor Aya Satusi, because she can't connect. Okay, well, I'll point out more examples when we come across instances of this in the reading. Oh, grammatical explanations drive me mad. And they don't give enough examples. Okay, in the case of the past participle, a noun will generally refer to the performer of the action, the subject of the verb. If the verb from which it is formed is intransitive, or the one who has undergone the action, the object of the verb, if the verb is transitive. Everybody understand?
No. I remember there was such a thing called transitive and intransitive verbs.
Okay, we'll pass over this. And again, I explained the grammar from the reading sections. Okay, the gender number endings, that's masculine, feminine, neuter, and their case forms are those of a stem, masculine and neuter, and then the long a stem, feminine. So the past participles, if it's masculine or neuter, they'll have the short A. They belong to that class of nouns, but then they are declined according to gender and number. And if it is a past participle which is describing a feminine noun, then the past participle becomes feminine. For example, let's say a feeling that is felt, okay, or a feeling that is known, okay, vedana vidita. Okay, so Vedana is means feeling, and it's a feminine noun, and suppose this is a singular. So we say Vedana, the feeling, is known, or was known. So Vedana Vidita. So Vidita is the past participle. So the past, since the noun is feminine, the past participle is feminine. But suppose we say the form was known. What would we say?
Rupam vidita.
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 Viditam, because this is a neuter singular, and so here the past participle vidita becomes neuter singular. Now suppose we have the mental formations, which is originally sankharo, it's a masculine, but now this is sankhara, plural. So we say that mental formations were known. What is the ending?
Vidita.
Vidita.
Yeah. Sankhara vidita. Let's see. I just suppose that it's one. I'm trying to think of a masculine noun. Oh, okay, this is a good one. Somebody has understood the Dhamma. So, Dhammo, what? Could I click yes? Dhammo
vidito.
Vidito. The Dhamma was understood.
What's the original verb?
The original verb would be vindati. Yeah, but strangely, the verb form doesn't occur very often. Usually for known, we would have janati. But the past participle is quite common. Were you able to hear that, Kim?
Yeah, I heard fine, Bhante. Thank
you. Okay. Oh, actually, here they give, just in the previous, on page 72, just before they have the section on the past participle, they have a good example. Ime Dhamma, these things, Vinyu Garihita. Garihita, despise, not so good, criticize, you could say. So here, Dhamma is the plural, masculine plural. Think these would be qualities like greed, hatred, and delusion. And so they're criticized by the wise. So since Dhamma here is plural, masculine plural, so the past participle, Garihita, becomes masculine plural. Okay, then they give an example of, it's not such a good example, the Tathagato. Okay, this is the word which means the Buddha. So this is formed from gutta, which is the past participle of gacchati. The better example is mutto, one who is freed. This is a past participle from the verb munchati, to be freed, to be released. And so if a bhikkhuni, a nun, is liberated or released, she would say, aham muta. Ahang muta. But a monk would say, ahang muto. Okay, then they give the example, adinang. So this is the negation of dina, which means given. So this is a past participle, which generally it functions as a noun. So it has the sense of that which is not given. I don't know if I had sent out to everybody. Suki had prepared a list of past participles. In fact, I sent it out when we were doing the previous course based on the Pali Primer. But I'll send it out again so that everybody, there are some new enrollees, so everybody gets the list of the most common past participles. It's very useful for people to have. Okay, then we go on to the next section of grammar. This just refers to one expression that we have, yo hi kochi, which means anyone or whoever. And then the neuter form of this would be yang kinchi. You could also say yo kochi without the hi. The he is just as for a little emphasis. Yo kochi. And then the neuter would be yang kinchi. And the feminine would be ya kachi. And since they give here the example, yo hi kochi manusesu. So here manusesu means amongst people, amongst human beings. So yo kochi manusesu, anyone among human beings. Then we've already come across, now we're in section 7, we've come across the expression tanang vijati and netang tanang vijati. Etang tanang vijati means literally this case exists or this possibility exists. In normal English we would say this is possible. Then the negation of that is netang tanang vijati, which means this case is not possible, or in other words, this is impossible. And here they take as a sample sentence, tanang vijati yang sappuriso sappurisang janeya. So tanang vijati means literally the case exists that a good person, a good man, might recognize a good man. And tanang vijati could be translated more naturally in English as it is possible. So here it is possible that a good man might recognize a good man. And the opposite of this on the next page is utanang, which means impossibility. So if we go to the reading section that we had already last time, on page 63. You see, atanang ko etang brahmana anavakaso yang asapuriso asapurisang janaya. So this is an impossibility, O Brahman, that a bad person might know a bad person. Thus, this fellow is a bad person. But then the opposite of that is tanang koetang brahmana vijati yang sapuriso sapurisang janaya. This is a possibility, or this is possible. This possibility exists, that a good person might recognize a good person. Any questions on this? Does it seem clear enough? Again, it's a matter of reading and getting used to the expressions just through habituation.
Bhante, I have one question.
Yeah.
The past participle.
Okay. Yeah, good to see you again. Okay, Venables Sachinanda?
Yes, Bhante, here labhati is become the road to love, and how it changed to laddha, and next one is the pasati, this ditta.
Okay.
This two, I do not understand
okay,
very clearly.
Okay, those are good questions. You know, not all the present participles follow very obviously from the normal indicative form of the root. Like in the case of the verb labhati, it forms the past participle as ladda. I think the way this happens, it becomes clearer through Sanskrit. Since in Sanskrit, you don't have to learn Sanskrit, no test on Sanskrit. I'll write it on the board. Okay, in Sanskrit, the indicative verb for to get is the same, labhati. The past participle in Sanskrit is labdha, labdha. So it's the Sanskrit is preserving the b form, or I think it's labdha. B-H-D-H-A. I'm sorry.
Bhante, this is sort of laid out in the middle of 71.
71 in two places.
Oh, that's right. Well, actually, they explained it in a different way, not in reference to the Sanskrit, but purely keeping the Pali explanation. So they explained it that love then combines with ta, so then you would get love ta, But labta, it's a kind of combination of sounds that you wouldn't find in Pali. So it, to make it easier to enunciate, it turns into ludda. And so we have some other forms or derivations of past participles that don't seem to follow so naturally from the verb. For example, the verb to give, dati or didati, is the indicative. Then you get the past participle, dina. Then upajati has upanna, chindati, chinna. I mean, look at English. Past participles. I have taken a nap. I have drunk the tea. I have gone to town. I have flown to California. I have sent the letter. So many different forms. So if you're going to say there has to be one way to construct the past participle in English, you can't say that. So why... We can't demand that there be one way to construct the past participle in Pali. Now, the case with the verb pasati, which means to see, and the past participle dita, which means seen, this is a special case, because in Pali there are actually two verbs which have the meaning of to see. One of them, one root is the root pus, from which we get the normal indicative verb, pusati, one sees. But there's another verb, das, or another root, das, which is not used to create the normal indicative verb, but it's on the basis of das that we get the past participle, dita, and we get the noun dasana, which means the act of seeing. And we get ditti, which means a view, an opinion. So in this case, there are two different verbs. One is used to create the indicative pusati, the optative paseya, the future. Pasisis, actually, I think the future is derived from das, dasis, das, dasati.
So, ditti, view, is related to dittam, or
yeah, dasati. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ditta is the past participle.
I thought, yeah, when you wrote it, I thought it was view, but it was instead the past participle.
Yeah, dittam is seen, what is seen. And then ditti is a view.
It would seem that since Pali doesn't seem to have a perfect or a pluperfect past, that yep. these participles even take more importance, because I have drunk, that would almost seem like a perfect past as opposed to a participle.
Can anybody tell me what he's saying?
I have no idea.
Pluperfect is like I had. If I had gone to New York, I would have called on you.
Right. I mean, since maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like we've only encountered one kind of past tense in Pali.
We've come across the simple past.
Yeah. Are there others?
And then there's the past participle.
Right.
There's something called a hypothetical construction, in which this is a construction of the form that, if such and such were the case, then such and such would have followed. This would be like, if I had gone to New York, then I would have called on you.
Right.
In which it's known that I didn't go to New York. This is called a hypothetical construction. I think it comes towards the end of the book. Did you have a question?
It's just, I think it's more confusing.
Excuse me?
I'm making it more confusing than it is for myself.
Jisho?
I have a person, the rupa, the mean, the, my body, the very, very small, the rupa.
No, we're not talking, it doesn't matter, small, big. If it's an elephant, it's still rupa. We're not talking about kalapa, just any kind of form that is seen.
What's kalapa?
Oh, no.
Those are supposed to be the little tiny particles of matter. Okay, let us see what comes next. Number 8, section 8. This is the prefix sa, which is connected with, we have a word saha, which means together with, sometimes sadding, again, along with, together with. So sa becomes a prefix that could be added to other words to give the meaning of, oh, this is a, okay, there's two sas. One is one's own. Okay, but then there's the sa that they're speaking about here, which has the meaning of with or accompanied by. Okay, so kinchino, the word kinchina has the meaning of worldly attachment. And so a person can be described as sa kinchina. That means one who has worldly attachments. Okay, some other examples they give. We have the word asava, which means something like it's defilement. Asava is the Chinese lo. And then we have sasava. That means with the defilements. So it's a person who is described as sasava, a person with defilements. And then also a person will be described as anasava. That's a person without defilements. That means an arahant. But to give a very simple example, we could say that maybe sometimes a man would be described as saputaka. Okay, puta means son, you know, the child. Sa means with. And then the ka turns it into an adjective. So saputaka, purisa, is a man with a son. Aputaka purisa means what?
Without a son.
Right, a man without a son, without children.
And the, what was the ka again, please? Putaka ka.
Just ka.
I mean the function itself.
It just turns it into an adjective describing purisa. I'm trying to find some other examples. Okay, we have Suseno Maro. You know Mara. What is Mara?
The evil one.
The evil one, right. The word Sena means army. So we could have Mara described, Susena Mara, Mara together with his army, together with his troops. in the classical description of the Buddha's teaching of the Dhamma, it says that the Buddha teaches Dhammo sa attang or sa atto sabhyanjano. He teaches the Dhamma with meaning, sa atto, with meaning, and sa bhyanjano. Bhyanjana means the expression, the phrasing. So the Buddha's teaching is said to be sa atta, with meaning or meaningful, and sa bhyanjana, with expressions. In other words, well expressed, well formulated. Okay, again, I'll just point out examples of this when we encounter it in the reading. Okay, now this, not that, can be expressed in Pali by X, N, Y. So here we have Raja Eso N Brahmano. So Eso means this one or he. Raja is a king. And Brahmano is Brahmana, is a Brahmin. So this is what we have in the verse we took last time. If you look on page 63. And the reason why we have the inversion, kasako so, is because of the meter. If it were the normal word order, we would say so kasako. N Brahmano. He is a farmer, not a Brahmin. But so kasako N Brahmano. I guess it sounds better as verse. Kasako so N Brahmano. Okay, then we have the last part of the grammar. We have two ways of expressing the idea of living by something. One is upajivati, lives on, depends on, which takes the accusative, and jivati, lives by, which takes the instrumental. And so we have some examples of this, again, in the verses on page 63. In the first verse, under passage 2, we have Gorakang Upajivati. He lives, in this case, he lives on Gorakang. That means taking care of cattle, taking care of cows. So you see, Upajivati is here taking the accusative. Then in the third verse, we have Voharang Upajivati. He lives by trade, by business. Again, Upajivati takes the accusative. Then in the case of the thief, Adinang Upajivati. He lives on what is not given. Or Isatang Upajivati, he lives on archery, that is the warrior in the king's army. So that's Upajivati takes accusative, and Jivati takes instrumental, like Putu Sipena Jivati, he lives by various crafts. Parapesena Jivati, he lives by doing, carrying messages for others. Shall we go to the readings, which I much prefer to explaining grammar? And I think last time we came up to, we were on page 64. And we finished the verses on the top, which are from the Sutta Nipata about the ideal Brahman. Now we come to some verses from the Dhammapada. And I have to say, one thing I don't like about the book is that they give so many of the reading passages are verses. And in verses, you get differences from normal word order. And sometimes to fit into the meter, words that would normally be included are left out. But we just try our best. Okay, so here we have, I'll recite, and then you repeat after me. Appamadena Magava.
Appamadena Magava.
Devanangse Tatangato.
Devanangse Tatangato.
Appamadang Pasang Santi.
Appamadang Pasang Santi.
Pamado Garahito Sada.
Pamado Garahito Sada.
Okay, so here the first word we have, appamadena. Now we know the meaning of appamada. What is the meaning?
Non-division. Non-division. Or just
striving.
He's a non-diligent.
No. Diligence. It's diligence. Pamada means negligence or heedlessness. So appamada means diligence. And then what case is this?
Instrumental,
so it means by diligence. Then Magava, this is a personal name. It's a name that was used for, it's a name that means the same thing as Indra or Saka, the king of the gods. I think they give it here. Yeah, Indra, the king of the gods. And yeah, this is important. It's the nominative singular of Magavant. You see, this belongs to the class of nouns that ends in vant. And so, like, Bhagavant becomes Bhagava for the Buddha. Gunavant, a virtuous one, becomes Gunava. So this is Magava. Magavant becomes Magava. I don't know what Magga means, but it's just, this is like a personal name. So by diligence, Indra. There's a Chinese word for this. Ooh, I should know it. The king of the gods?
Indra?
I know you recite it all the time. Saka and Brahma. Chakra and Brahma. In all the sutras, there's always Indra and Brahma coming to attend on the Buddha. Once. Not Brahma. I'm sure every day you chant it sometime in your liturgy. And I should know it, but I remember. Wanti? Wanti. The head of the heaven of the 33. Once a tian. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, so this is Indra or Magava. So by diligence, Indra, now we have Devanang Setatang Gatto. Gatto is past participle, which means gone to. In this passage, in the sense of attained, Now, Seta tongue means supremacy, the foremost place. Poor Aya Santusika is like Rip Van Winkle. What is that?
She's not giving up.
Okay, so Setatang is the chief place, and Devanang is what what number and case?
Genitive
plural. Yeah, the genitive and dative look the same, but from the context, you have to judge which case fits best. So this is the chief place of the gods. So by diligence, Maghava, or Indra, has gone to the chief place of the gods. Or by diligence, Maghava has attained the supreme place, supremacy over the gods. Yeah, if you have of the gods, chief place of the gods, even though supremacy over isn't the genitive, but it means the chief place of the gods. Then, upamadung pasangsanti. So pasangsanti is a verb. It's what number and person. For what person and number?
Present tense and plural.
It's present tense, plural, and what person?
Singular.
First, second, or third person?
Third person.
Third person, plural.
It's third person, plural. So they praise diligence. And here, who they is, it's not specified, it's just a general statement, like in the sense of people praise diligence. Then pamado garahito sada. So pamado is negligence, heedlessness, laziness. Garahito, this is the past participle, which means blamed, criticized. And sada is indeclinable, which means always. So by diligence, Indra achieved the chief place of the gods. They praise diligence. Negligence is criticized always. Any questions about this? You see, not so difficult.
Ante?
Yeah.
Somehow I thought that the subject of Pasangsanti was Maghava.
No, because Maghava is a singular, you see? So Maghava goes with Gatto, because Gatto, you can see the ending, it's masculine singular. But Pasangsanti is a plural, so it has to be understood, and since no other subject is mentioned, we just understand that in the general sense, people praise diligence.
Appamadam prasansanti, is it a person who is diligent or just diligence in accusative form?
Appamadam. Yeah, appamadam is diligence as a personal quality, not the person. A person who is diligent would be appamatto. That's a diligent one.
But here, pamado garahito is a non-diligent one.
No, pamado again is the quality, negligence. And then a negligent person would be pamato, P-A-M-A-T-T. Well, the abstract form would be ending in A, the short A, pamata.
Diligence would be a noun.
Yes, yeah, diligence and negligence are both nouns, abstract nouns rather than personal nouns.
Pante, the first line ends with a gatto, right?
Yeah.
And that completes the sentence?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. You see, normally in prose, if you wanted to make a full sentence, you would put hoti. So you could say upamadena magava devanang satatang gatto hoti. But to get the meaning, you don't need the hoti. Okay. And here we have to fit it into eight syllables. Devanang satatang gatto. Okay, let's go to the next verse.
Bhante?
Yeah.
What's the indicative verb for garahito?
I think it would be garahati.
Thank you, Bhante.
G-A-R-A-H-A-T-I. Garahati. Okay, let's take the next verse. Yata piru chirang pupang.
Yata piru chirang pupang.
Vana vantang agandakang.
Vana vantang agandakang.
Evang subhasita vacha.
Evang subhasita vacha.
Apalahoti akubato. Okay, so here we start with where this verse is constructed with the two keywords are yata, which means as or like. It introduces a simile, and then the word evang, which means thus, and that shows the application of the simile. So we start off with yatapi. The pi just fills in the meter. It doesn't really have any essential meaning. But because you have to get eight syllables. So yata ruchirang means something like delightful. Pupang is a flower. Hua. Yeah. Oh, I see. The modern Chinese, it's hua. Second tone, right? So, just like a delightful flower, then we have vana vantang. Vana means color. And then we have the vanta ending, which means possessed of. And since Pupang is neuter, singular. So when we have vanavant to make it neuter, singular. To make it neuter, singular, we put the ending ung. So vana vantung. So that means possessing color, colorful. Yeah, actually the vant ending is something like English full at the end of a word. Colorful, delightful, virtueful. No, we don't say virtueful. What are some other fulls?
Helpful.
Beautiful. Yeah. So vanta, just think of vanta as similar to the full at the end of words. Soulful. Sorrowful. Wonderful. Thank you for the compliment. Okay, so in this case, colorful, but agandakang. Now, the word ganda means scent or fragrance. And then the prefix a is a negation. So this means without any fragrance. Then the ka, like I said earlier with saputaka, it turns it into an adjective. So agandaka means without any fragrance. And so here we have the sense, just like a delightful flower, colorful, but without any fragrance. Then we come to the application of the simile, evang, just so, thus, subhasita vacha. So here the subject is vacha, which means words. Or I think vacha is actually a feminine singular meaning speech. It can be either plural or singular. In this case, it's speech. Just so, the speech subhasita. Now this is based on, subhasita is based on a past participle, basita, which means spoken. And su, the prefix su, gives the meaning of good or well. In this case, well-spoken speech. Just like the well, it's just so, the well-spoken speech. Then we have appala hoti akubito. But this changes around the normal word order. So we would, to get the normal word order, we would say akubito appala hoti. Now akubito, this is a variant form of the present participle of the verb karoti, which means to do. And so there is a poetic form of karoti, kubati, which means to do, to act. And then kubato would be what part of speech, what grammatical form? It's dative. Dative. You got it. Present participle. It's the dative singular present participle of the verb kubati. So kubati means one does. Kubato means for one who does. And ukubato is the negation of that. For one who does not do. For one who does not act. And the full meaning is implied rather than stated. for one who does not act in accordance with well-spoken words. For example, I say, you know, you shouldn't tell lies, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't cheat people, but I'm telling lies, I'm cheating, I'm stealing, then I'm not doing what I say. Okay, so a kubato means for one who does not act in accordance with his well-spoken words, his well-spoken speech, then the speech is uppala hoti. You know the word pala? Pala means what?
Fruit.
So uppala means without fruit. And you see that uppala is what gender and number? You have to...
Neuter.
No, you have to ask, what is it describing? What is it? Vacha, right. Vacha is feminine singular, meaning speech. So the speech is upala. The speech is fruitless. Meo guo. Meo guo jia? How do you say it? Meo guo bao? Meo. Meo shou guo.
Meo
si guo. No, no, that's literal. No. Mei you jie guo. Mei you jie guo. Zhen guo. Real fruit. Zhen, what is zhen?
Zhen, like
zhen guo. Or you say no benefit. What is benefit? Li yi. Mei you li yi. Okay, so putting it all together, we have a delightful flower, uh-huh. Very colorful, mm-hmm. But you go to it,
no smell.
Sniff, no fragrance. And so somebody speaks beautiful words, mm-hmm. Oh, you should be very pious towards the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, you should observe the precepts, you should practice loving kindness and compassion. Mm-hmm. But he gets angry, he's cruel, he's greedy. So he doesn't act, he doesn't practice what he teaches. Mm-hmm. And so his words are meo li'i, no benefit, no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Confused with the meaning, because you know it was a very positive sense, except for the, you know, it's a ruchirang pukpang, a delightful flower, it's colorful. Yeah. The only the part that's missing is the
fragrance.
Is the fragrance. So I was thinking more like maybe an arahant who doesn't really teach to other people, so he doesn't actually engage in good, rather not engage in good words, he's not, he's just to himself.
No, because in this case the person is described as one who does teach, who's speaking.
But it's an akubbato, so he's not, the person is not doing subhasita vacha.
No. You know, the sense is implied, but one could get the sense that he's not doing what he teaches. He's not practicing what he preaches. And let's see if we could get... And I have to say, I mean, that's why I don't like using the verses, because sometimes they're very tight, very compressed. But I'm pretty sure that the commentary will explain, put it into normal language. I'm just trying to open a particular book. Yeah, that's because this was down in the lower part. Does anybody know what verse this is? Do you have the verse number?
51.
Yeah, it would be in the flowers section. 51.
Yes.
Okay, it says, let me share the screen with the people. Okay, I'm going to share the screen with you. Okay, so it's explaining verse 51. It says, Ruchi Rung. So Ruchi Rung, it explains Sobhanang, also just another word which means beautiful. Then Vanavantang, Vana Santana Sampanang. Sampana means possessing, Vana color, Santana means shape. Agandakang, so it explains Ganda Virahitang. Virahitang means devoid of fragrance. Then that just enumerates a number of flowers, I guess, that don't have fragrance. Evang Subhasita Vacha. So it says Subhasita Vacha. So well spoken speech is Te Pitakang Buddha Vachanam, the Buddha word of the Tripitaka. So tongue Vana Santana Sampananga Gandaka Pupa Sadisang. That is similar to a flower without fragrance, but which possesses color and shape, good color and shape. Yatapana agandaka pupang. So just like a flower without fragrance, yo. Yo nangdareti tasa sarire gandang na parati. So one who wears it, such a flower, tasa sarire gandang na parati, the fragrance does not pervade over his body. Evang etang yonang sakachang sabanadi. One who does not practice carefully in a by way of listening and so on to the Dhamma. Tasa sakachanga samarast. Well, this is more complex than you know, that you're familiar with. Tasa sakachang samacharan tasa yang tata katabang tang akubato. So for one not conducting himself carefully in that, That is, for one who does not do what should be done therein, basically his words are upalahoti, they're fruitless. So the sense is that for one who doesn't act according to the words that he preaches or speaks, the words are fruitless. Okay, then the next verse is just the opposite of that. Okay, so I'll recite and then you repeat. Yatapi ruchi rang pupang.
Yatapi ruchi rang pupang.
Vana vantang sagandakang.
Vana vantang sagandakang.
Evang subhasita vacha.
Evang subhasita vacha.
Sapalahoti sakubato.
Sapalahoti sakubato.
Okay, so here again we have just like a delightful flower, which is colorful, but in this case, sa gandakam. Here we have the prefix sa, which means with, not without. So just like a delightful flower that's colorful and fragrant. Evang subhasita vacha, so is the well-spoken speech for one who practices it. I think sakubato is wrong. It should be sapalahoti kubato. That's the way it is here. For one who acts, in other words, for one who acts on his speech, that well-spoken speech is fruitful. So sapala functions as an adjective going with vacha, fruitful, with fruit, and kubito is the dative, present participle singular dative for one who acts, for one who practices. Any questions on this? Okay, we'll do one verse. Do you want to take a, see, it's 2:18. Do you want to take a 10-minute break? Okay. Okay, we'll take a 10-minute break and then we'll come back at 2:28. Finally, we got you.
It's amazing.
What is that?
That's amazing.
We just took a break.
Yes, I'm sorry. Oh, wow. Well, I've been doing a lot of systems work on my computer this whole period of time to try to understand why Ubu is being blocked.
Why?
And maybe something helped.
Was this the first time that you had blockage like this, or was it did it occur earlier?
today is the first time I've ever had any problem like this.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I think the fault could have been with the UVU wire. Is there a wire connecting UVU in California to... I don't know.
Somehow I don't think so. I think it's more likely that some software changed some system settings on my computer and I had to track down the many different ways they could be blocking programs.
Yeah.
So that was what I was up to. And it looked like the last thing I changed didn't help. Every time I called, it was because I had changed something. I found some new wrinkle in the system, but it didn't look like anything I did worked. So I'm amazed that you were able to reach me.
Just now, when we started the break, I thought, let me just give one more try to it, and it worked.
Okay, well, thank you.
Can I ask a question? I'm still uncertain about the meaning of a pianjana.
The meaning of?
Pianjana. Okay, Atang pianjana.
Yeah.
Before, I thought the Atang was the meaning, pianjana was the detailed explanation.
See.
And then I see some other meanings.
Yeah, the word Byanjan actually has a variety of meanings. In the expression, how's it go? In relation to sense restraint, Nunimita Gahi, Anubyanjana. In the formula on sense restraint, Anubhyanjana is explained as the details.
Right.
So nimitta is like the general appearance. So one doesn't grasp upon the general appearance or Anubhyanjana, the details. And it's the same word, Bhyanjana, just with the prefix anu.
Right.
And then Bhyanjana is also used in relation to food. Like the staple of the meal would be like usually the rice, and then the various side dishes are called byanjana.
Oh.
But in relation to like the Buddha's teaching, atta would be the meaning of it, and byanjana would be the wording, the way it's expressed.
Yeah. What's her name? The lady who translated the Majima and Vinaya.
Ivy Horner.
Yeah. Horner, in one place, she said spirit and the language.
Yeah.
Something like that. So Atta was like a spirit.
Yeah.
And then Bhyanjana was like a, I think, a language.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of...
Yeah. Well, spirit really is more literal. It's the meaning. Yeah.
Meaning.
Yeah.
And then could I say, when in that case, is it more like we understand the meaning, and then also the language itself,
yeah.
The wording?
Yeah, the wording, the phrasing, yeah.
And I have one more question.
Yeah.
The one we did last week, in number two, that was like there's a survey and subject, and you said we have to change it. Where was it? Yohi, here. Okay. Nachahan Brahmanan Bhumi Sabe Bhavadi Namaso Hoti Sabe Hoti Sakinchano. That was the last sentence on page 63.
Yeah.
Sabe Hoti Sakinchano, right?
Yeah.
And the one the lady who translated, she said, Satche. Satche Hoti.
Oh.
And that makes sense, I think.
No.
No?
Oh, I see. It could make sense, actually.
Yes, I think it
would. Oh, that could actually make sense.
Yes. Because Satche, but I have trouble because it's a sa, not so. But if it's like a satje, then it makes perfect sense.
Actually, that is so. Okay, so he's saying that nuchahang brahmanang brumi yoni chang mati sambhavang bovadi nama sohoti sache hoti sakinchno. That would make sense also. That, okay, I do not call one a Brahmin just because he is born from the womb, originates from a mother, a Brahmin mother. So you could say, he is just a bovadi, the one who says, sir, sir, sache hoti sakinchino, if he is one with attachment. That makes good sense. Let me see how this... Probably you see in the singular script, the C, letter C and the letter V are very similar.
Okay. Oh.
Let's see if I can remember my singular script.
It's ver with that.
The ch. Sure,
yeah.
You say that.
Maybe
that's. I made it a little more similar.
Yeah.
That's
okay. This is the ver. And this is the ch. So they look so similar. The only thing that really distinguishes is that the ch has the. This flat line here, whereas the bud, you see, the line comes to a curve. But when you're dealing with like handwritten manuscripts, palm leaves, it's so easy to mistake one for the other, and if either meaning would work in a particular context, you know, it could change.
Here.
You also get a confusion and singular between.
I
see.
This
no,
is
I could write it.
Okay.
Oh, wow, see you.
No, but this is simple. That's simple. What do you call the aspirate, non-aspirated? So, non-aspirated th is like that. Non-aspirated n is like that. Is that what you have? Th and n?
Non-aspirated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
will not necessarily.
Yeah. You could see that they could easily get mixed up.
Wait, how do you say that?
Yeah.
Well, how do you pronounce it?
It's th, not th. I'm going to confuse you.
Okay.
Because I myself cannot read you. You know, there's T versus PH. So that's the difference between.
Okay, let us continue. Ooh. Okay, we don't need that. Okay, so let's go on now. The last verse from the Dhammapada selection. Tika jagarato rati.
Tika jagarato rati.
Digang santasayojanam.
Digang santasayojanam.
Digo balanang sangsaro.
Digo balanang sangsaro.
Sadhammang avijanatam.
Sadhammang avijanatam.
Okay, in the first line, the subject is the word rati, which means night. And rati is a feminine noun. And so the word to describe it, diga, you see, diga means long. And so because rati is feminine, so diga becomes the long a, diga. Long is the night. Then we have the verb jagarat, there's a verb jagarati, which means to be awake. And what grammatical form do we have here? Jagarato?
Present
participle?
Participle.
Right. Dative?
Singular.
It means for one who is awake. So long is the night for one who is awake. Mm-hmm. Then we have, in the next line, the subject is yojanam. Yojana is an ancient Indian measure of distance. Mm-hmm. It's equivalent to about 6 miles. Mm-hmm. So maybe they translate it league? Yojana, measure, they say distance between 4 to 8 miles. So let's say a distance of 6 miles. And then santasa means for one who is tired. So if one is walking on a long journey and one is tired, mm-hmm. and you ask, where is the next town? Somebody says, it's a yojana. Wow. And this is ancient India, so there's no cars. Mm-hmm. So you're walking on foot. So long is the yojana for one who is tired. Then digo balanang sangsaro sadamang avijanatang. This all goes together. So the subject of both lines is sangsaro, which means shangsa, birth and death, the round of birth and death. So long is the round of rebirths. Balanam for fools. And then the fools are described further in the fourth line. Sadamang avijanatang. Here, vijanati means to understand. And so what grammatical form is avijanatang? Yongxin, Pasha? Say again.
Masculine, right?
It's masculine.
Yeah, singular accusative.
No, no. It's not accusative, not singular. This is a little tricky.
Don't understand?
Maybe I should explain this. Does anybody sure that they know what it is?
Dative plural.
Okay. Yeah, Suki got it. Dative plural. And what is the grammatical? Present participle. If you look at the present participle table, let's see where we find it. Okay, on page 70, you see the table of the present participles, and you'll see under genitive dative, gacha tung, which is equivalent to gachan tanang. And so vijana tung would be present participle, accusative plural, meaning for those who know, for those who understand. But this is... Excuse me?
Did you mean accusative, Fonte?
No. On page 70,
I didn't think so.
Look under genitive, dative, plural. You see gacha tung, which is, in later Pali, this would be turned into gachan tanung. So avijanatung belongs to that same particular, it's of that same particular type. So vijanatung here would be for those who understand, for those who know. But this is a negative form of vijanatung for those who do not understand. And then the object is saddhammang, the good dharma. In other words, the truth of the dharma. So long is the samsara for foolish people who do not understand the true dharma. So taking the whole verse now. So long is the night for one who is awake. You know, if for some reason you can't sleep and you're lying there, you know, it seems endless. Look at the clock, 12 midnight. Look again, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Oh, do I have to get up? Okay, so long is the yojana for one who is tired. Long is the cycle of rebirths for the fools who do not understand the true Dhamma. And note too that balanang, of the jhana tongue, is describing balanang. So it's fools who do not understand the good dharma. Any questions on this? You have to be very careful for that genitive, dative, plural, present participle form. It's very easy to start thinking, because it has the ung ending, oh, this must be a masculine accusative, and then trying to make sense out of it. But that's leading you under, what's the expression, leading you down the garden road? The garden path? Yeah, I think Kim, did you have a question? Kim?
Yeah, what's this translation for yojana? Long is the...
Yeah, we can't really translate it. You just have to use the word yojana. Even the Chinese translators use the word
yojun.
Yojun?
Yeah.
What is that? If you're translating, you just have to have a note that it's something around 6-7 miles.
Thank you, Bante.
Okay, let's go on to the next These are a series of verses from the Mangala Sutra. So here the structure is not very difficult because it's almost like listing items. So in this sutta, a deity comes to the Buddha and says, gods and men for a long time have thought about the meaning of blessings. What? Tell me, what is true blessing? Then the Buddha recites these verses. So, Basevana Chabalanang, Panditanancha Sevana,
Panditanancha Sevana,
Pujacha Pujaniyanang,
Pujacha Pujaniyanang,
Etang Mangalamuttamam,
Etang Mangalamuttamam.
Okay, so here, because of the meter, we have the word order is not so regular. Mayo Pingchang De. What's order sequence?
Shunshu.
Okay, so first, a sevana means not, in English we would say, not associating with fools. But somehow in Pali it comes out not with fools, but of fools. It uses the genitive form, genitive plural. But the meaning in English would be not a sevana is not associating, and balanang would be with fools, even though in the Pali structure it's genitive plural. Is there a way to say this in English so that we could have a genitive plural or even a dative? Not going to fools, you could say. Not relying on fools. Anyway, we can't always get the very exact translation. Then pandita nang, you say we have a cha here, and. So panditanang, this is genitive plural, meaning of wise people. Genitive plural. And sevana means associating with, following after, relying upon. So not associating with foolish people, serving or associating with the wise people. Puja cha pujaniyanang. Puja here means reverence. Jingli or Gongjin. To Pujaniyanam. Pujaniyang means those worthy of reverence. Now, Pujaniya, what grammatical form is this? We've had this. No, not feminine, no.
Is that past participle?
Not past participle.
It must be done.
It's a kind of participle.
Is it future passive?
Yeah, this is what's called the future passive participle, or sometimes the optative participle, that which should be done. In this case, we say those who should be venerated. So veneration to those who should be venerated, or the veneration of those who should be venerated. Then etang, this, then in normal order we would say etang uttamang mangalang, this is supreme blessing. But because of the rhythm of the line, Mangala and Uttama are inverted. So this is the blessing supreme. Okay, any questions on this?
Is Mangala often spelled with an N?
Yeah, in fact, usually in most of the printed Pali texts we find Ung is spelled with the N with a dot over the N. I don't know why they print it in this book like this. But I think, for example...
So it's actually Mangalam Uttamam, is that right?
Yeah,
That becomes Mangalam Uttamam.
Yeah, we would say Mangalung with the M with a dot under it. Mangalung is one word, blessing, good fortune. Uttamang means the best. So this is the blessing that is best. But because of the flow of words together, the ung sound is changed into an ordinary M, m. And then that m is joined with the u. So then we get Mangala Muttamang. You see this addition, for that kind of sound, they have the ung, the N with the dot on top. That's what I would prefer, rather than the M with the dot under, when it precedes a G or a K. Okay, then we go to the next verse. Bahu Satya. Bahu Satya means much learning. And Sipa means some kind of trade or craft. Like in the Buddha's time, it would be like pottery, being a goldsmith or a blacksmith, making furniture, learning some kind of trade, a craft. Then the next line is a rather strangely expressed. Vinayo cha susikito. Vinayo means a discipline. Sikito means trained in. And then the su has the sense of well. So literally this is a well-trained discipline. Which doesn't make such good sense to me. I suspect that maybe there was a mistake in the transmission, and it seems it should be vinaye cha susikito, being well trained in discipline. But this is the way the text has come down. Okay, then the third line, we have Subhasita Chayavacha. We already had this just above. So this means well-spoken speech. And then this is the blessing supreme. This is the best blessing. So having much learning, having a craft, some skill, having a discipline that's good for training, or being well trained in discipline, and well spoken speech, this is the best blessing. Any question about this? Yeah.
Question about Sipangcha?
Yeah.
Is that a genitive plural with like a sundi or something? Why does it have an N?
Okay. Yeah. It's not a genitive plural. Sipa is just a noun. Sipang would be the normal singular ending. But they're being connected with cha. And now what happens very often when the ung sound is followed by cha, the ung turns into the N with the wiggle on top and gets joined with the ch.
Okay.
So, oops. I mean, it's not special to the word sipang, but almost any noun that ends with ung, when it's followed by ch, then that ung turns to the N with the wiggle on top. Like in the first line of number 4, we have pandita. If we were to break that sandhi, then we would have pandita nung. Cha, sevana. But because the ung is meeting with cha, then it becomes pandita nancha, sevana.
And the case?
And the what?
Case.
What case is
this? These are pretty much all nominatives. The main words are all nominatives. Technically, it wouldn't really be necessary. It's just filling a syllable to fill out the meter. So this would be that speech which is well spoken. That would be the sense. But you could have dropped the ya, and then it would be just as meaningful to say subhasita chavacha, well and well-spoken speech. But you have to get 8 syllables, so subhasita chavacha.
Bhante?
Yeah.
What does the Buddha refer to by well-spoken speech?
That, Kim, is a subject for a separate lecture. But it usually means speech that's truthful, correct, fitting the circumstances, gentle.
Good pronunciation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's take the next. You repeat after me. Dānāñca dhammacāryāca.
Dānāñca dhammacāryāca.
Nyātaka nāñca sangaho.
Nyātaka nāñca sangaho.
Anavajāni kammāni.
Anavajāni kammāni.
Etang mangalamuttamam.
Etang mangalamuttamam.
Okay, so here we have the word dana, which means giving. So giving. Then dhammacharya. Charya means conduct. So this would be conduct in accordance with the Dhamma. Or you could say righteous conduct. then Nyatakanan, you see they're a little bit, they're somewhat inconsistent with their style of spelling. I would have put this Nyatakanan, the N with the wiggle on top, cha. Nyatakanancha sangaho. What case and number is Nyatakanan? Carolyn? In this case, wait, let me just think. I think here would probably be not dative, but the twin of the dative. Yeah.
Genitive form.
Right. In this case, sangaho here means helpfulness. Actually, could it be, sometimes the boundary line between dative and genitive gets a little bit wiggly. So sangaho is helpfulness, you could say helpfulness to relatives. Nyataka are relatives. So it could be dative, helpfulness to relatives. Or assisting, it could be the assisting of relatives, or assistance to relatives. You see, in English, we could phrase it both ways. As long as you don't say that this is masculine accusative singular, it's okay. No, not locative either. Okay, then, anavajani kamani. What case and number? And gender? Who said feminine? No. Neuter? Yeah. Okay. Suki got plural. And case? Yeah. You see, most of these, it's just enumerating items, so they're nominative. It's not even part of a full sentence, but just sort of like listing items. So here we have, as the highest blessing, giving and righteous conduct and assistance to relatives and blameless actions. This is the highest blessing, or this is the supreme blessing. Maybe we'll pause here, because we're getting to 3 o'clock. And then next week, we will finish up this verse, then I'll go into the further readings. You try to do it also, the further readings. Let's see. Did I go through the glossary of further readings, giving alternative rendering? Okay, let's go through. I'll just give you some alternative renderings. Yeah, for Ahuneya, one meaning they give is venerable, but that's not like a prefix to a monk's name. But Ahuneya, better worthy of offerings or worthy of gifts. Then upekaka, they give indifferent or disinterested, but sometimes those have negative implications in English. But upekaka, of course, it's based on upeka, equanimity. So this would be one with equanimity.
Bhante, are you looking, what glossary are you looking at?
I'm looking on page 75. This is the glossary to the further readings.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Okay, then going down, we have, you'll see X followed by Dhamma. They give of the nature of X. Another way to put this is to say subject to X, where X could be a number of terms. For example, they say sabbesata marana dhamma. all beings, Marana Dhamma, you could say, have the nature of death, or you could say all beings are subject to death. Okay, turning over the page, there's a word, you go down, come to the word dharati. They give the meaning holds, bears, accepts, contains. Another meaning that occurs very often, or another implication, is to retain in mind. I think this is what in the Chinese render sometimes shou chi, or simply chi, to accept, but also to preserve in the mind, to remember. Okay, then going down. For pajanati, I prefer understands rather than realizes. Realizes is more like sachi karoti. Like pajanati is simply like the Chinese chu, whereas realize is something like jiang, jiang ming or jiang. Jiang.
Yeah.
Okay, then going further down, punya, I think merit is better. Righteousness, not so exact. But it's, I call it the capacity of good deeds to yield pleasant results. And then going further down to the V's, vinyaya, they give having perceived or known. But I think using perceived here gets it mixed up with sanya. So I think better to keep it having known. And then coming to the end of the glossary, the word sumana, I mean, once it, the sense is a happy mind, but that's the literal derivation, but it, often it's used like an adjective, so we could say joyful.
Take mind out of it, just joyful. Like not joyful mind.
Yeah, you don't have to say mind because joyful implies it's a state of mind. But literally it comes from mana. Mana is mind and su is has a sense of good or well, but then it's used in the sense of the sense of joyful. And then we have the noun from this or the abstract noun somanasa, which is joy. So manasa, then the opposite is dumana, which is like sad, and domanasa, sadness or sorrowfulness. Just use your pen, just block off the left. Okay, so we'll take next week three verses at on page 64, and then we'll go into the further reading. Then, as I mentioned in the note that I sent with it in the email, when we finish lesson 5, then we'll go back and do a general review. So, to be sure everybody gets it.
You're going to take for the further reading, do it all.
Let's see.
I'm sorry.
Let's see how much there is. mean, I'll try to finish it all next week. Yeah, the first selection on the further readings uses a repetition sequence. And number two has a repetition sequence. And number four has a repetition sequence.
I recommend you do all of it.
Yeah, I think next week I especially want
to be on the next screen
because he's going to Sri Lanka. He won't be here.
He'll be up there.
I'm giving assignment to Venerable Sagara Kantu. He has to do the last three verses and translate them for us next week
to finish the book.
Okay, so we'll end with three bows to the Buddha. One, two, three, and then we all wish Venerable Sagara Kantu a very beneficial and fruitful stay in Sri Lanka. You know, he's leaving tomorrow evening together with Venerable Subodha. He's planning to spend 3 months in Sri Lanka.
Thank you, Mentor.
How do we say bon voyage in
Pali? How do they say it? Oh, it would be something like that. Or simply Bhavatu Sabba Mangalan. Yeah. May all blessings be with you. Is this yours? Okay.
Sabba
Mangalan.
Yeah. We have high expectations.